For more than a decade, FTI has strived to become the leader in the aftermarket performance transmission and converter industry. We've joined forces with McLeod Driveline Components under the leadership of top fuel funny car pilot Paul Lee, and now have a larger distribution network, more resources, and more power. Come see us in the pits and ask how you can join the FTI family. It's not cheating. It is the competitive edge.
It's time for an inside look at the most powerful motorsport on the planet. WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro. This is WFO Radio.
WFO, everybody. Welcome back. WFO Radio. What a week. What a week following the Stampede of Speed NHRA Texas Fall Nationals. 10 days out there in Big D. It was amazing. And already we've heard from Ron Capps. We've heard from Justin Ashley. We've heard from Hector Arana Jr. Alan Reinhart recapped the whole event. We've just got one more Camping World Series winner so we can put Texas in a box and then move ahead to Vegas. Vegas next week. NHRA has just announced a massive fan fest, the first fan fest in Vegas since pre-pandemic. It's going to be great. We're going to have all that going on. I'm going to tell you about a couple of things. Erica Ender is going to be joining us on this show. So listen, you got to help me out, guys. You got to help me out. Fans of Pro Stock, fans of Erica, factory hot rods, naturally aspirated, sportsman racers, share this show, retweet it if you're on Twitter, if you're on the YouTube, go down in that like and click the bell, all that stuff, so we can get this interview out there because it's we're getting down to the wire, baby. Now, normally I'll tell you about the sponsors, and I will tell you about the sponsors, but there's something else I want to tell everybody about, and that is the free WFO mobile application for your iPhone or Android, on which you can watch or listen to all of our shows. You can read all of our news. You can buy merch all through the app. And I'm holding my phone because that's where the app is. I'm going to put the link in the chat section right now. And hopefully everybody will download the app, enable push notifications, and you can watch shows live like this is going out live right now in the video section. I've done a poor job of telling everybody. Of course, I want you to subscribe to the YouTube channel. You can do that through the app. But enable push notifications and never miss a show, audio or video. All the stuff, our WFO updates with our podcast, everything that comes out, Fantasy League, the trophy back there, it all comes through the WFO app. So do that now. Let's bring on Erica. Yeah, I'm going to tell you about the sponsor. We're going to build the audience. We're going to make it huge. Bring on Erica.
Good morning, Joe. How are you?
I'm great. Another big win, 3 of 4 in the countdown, 166 points up. $7,500 bonus money. That was a big, big win out there in Dallas. The Texas two-step, a lot of extra stuff in this one.
Yeah, it was huge. So we weren't there quite as long as you were, but you did an excellent job, by the way. It was awesome to watch. But being there on Wednesday for the champions dinner was a really cool deal. And then, you know, kicking off racing on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So going to the pole on Friday, as you mentioned, scoring that extra $7,500 by just a couple thousandths over my teammate Aaron Stanfield was pretty awesome. And going on to win the race was even better. But I think we accomplished everything that could have been accomplished this weekend, from being low ET of every qualifying session, every round of eliminations, winning the race, getting the bonus money. It just it was crazy.
Yeah. And in Formula One, that's like the Grand Slam or something. When you accomplish everything you can accomplish, from bonus points to fastest lap, like they've got their formula, we've got our formula. But that was a dominant win, a dominant race weekend. But let's start off with the whole Stampede of Speed deal, right? You came in early. You were invited because of a past win. And now you'll be celebrated at the Champions Dinner next year. I'd like to think other track operators are watching, and no disrespect to anybody and the effort they put in, but racers seem to respond when extra things are up for grabs, whether it be sitting on that saddle or extra bonus money, or we had a smoke machine, the dinner, like all that extra stuff seemed to have incentivized everybody.
Yeah, for sure. The entire week of the Stampede of Speed is just awesome. And everything that the Meyer family does for our sport is pretty substantial. So it was really cool to be invited to the champions dinner. It was, I walked in that room and it looked like the NHRA banquet, like a black tie event. It was decorated really awesome. They had a painter there that painted all the winners from last year, which they moved that to the Fan Fest on Thursday, and all the drivers signed it. It was awesome. They had open bar, they had great food, they had filet and chicken and two desserts, and all four of the winners, what was cool was all four of the winners from last year each got to pick something for the menu. And next year, Billy Meyer said they're switching it, where Pro Stock and Pro Stock Motorcycle get to pick the entrees, and Top Fuel and Funny Car get to pick the desserts. So we get to pick the dinner for next year. It's just cool. And then, you know, going on to talk about the saddle and the bonus money and the cowboy hat and Oscar, the big longhorn that poses in the pictures for Winner's Circle. Like, all of this stuff is just so cool. And, you know, I go back to talking about the wins from this season, starting in Pomona, with that cool Hurst shifter handle for the 900th Pro Stock win, and then the wine goblet in Sonoma that we had never won before until this year, the cornhole boards that the Kareskis put up in Redding, the cowboy hat in Dallas. So while all of these things might seem a little funny, like if you talk about it, that's why we want to win. We want to win the extra cool prizes. And so again, huge thank you to the Meyer family and Ennis, the city of Ennis, for putting up all that extra funding. It's just, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. I think his name is Oliver, by the way. I don't know. The walk that thing. Did you ride on?
Because that's what we used to call the Wally, but you're right, it's Oliver. I messed that up. My bad.
But extra incentive, guys. And I thought it was funny that you knew and know like every bonus extra thing. The shifter, the ice cream scoop, the wine goblet. The all of you, and you won them all. Nobody got anything. There's got to be, that's something too. It's a sweep of some sort.
A sweep of awesome things to put on your trophy shelf. That's for sure. And those were the races that we put on our goal list at the beginning of the year. So again, just a dream season for us to be able to accomplish what we've accomplished. And I couldn't do it without our tremendous sponsors, Melling Performance, Gallagher, People Lease, C-Tech, CHE, High Performance Lubricants, all these people that stand behind us, they make this possible. My cowboy hat. And we couldn't do it without them. So it's been a tremendous year, and I'm just super hopeful to finish strong with these last two races in Vegas and Pomona.
Well, you had the courage to say something a couple of weeks ago, and it didn't work out that you were trying to win out, right? Well, okay, 3 of 4, that's impressive. The 166-point lead, 9 wins on the season, 42nd of your career in pro stock. Like, wow, it's just, it's unbelievable. But I know the way you guys operate, and you want to just win out. You want to do what you said. You want to win out. Vegas, a track that you are not the winningest pro stock racer there. You're the winningest racer ever at Vegas. Domination of that facility. So you're going to a happy place, which is good. Just tell me about the energy with the team, right? Everybody seems loose. You're Aaron Stanfield, second in the points, guys looking great, but just, you know, you've been head and shoulders above the rest on this given season. And you said it right from the start, like you kind of called the shot on this.
I did, not in a overconfident way. Just, I know what we're capable of, and you know, how we lost the championship last year. You and I talk about this every time we talk, but it lit a fire under our tails to go get some stuff done. And we came out swinging this year, not just me as a driver, but this entire operation. So what a lot of people don't know is, yeah, we have 7 cars, but I have 42 guys on the road full time that I'm in charge of their logistics. And we have a chef Cody Martin. He comes every week and cooks dinner for us. We eat as a family every single night. So our team camaraderie and chemistry is something that you can't buy, and it's super coveted. And I feel really fortunate to have that, because I had wished my whole career up to coming to Elite Motorsports for what I have here. And that includes the relationship I have with my crew chiefs, starting with Rick Jones, who was the lead crew chief on my car for the majority of my time here at Elite Motorsports. And then we brought on Mark Ingersoll when Rick and Ricky had to go home to take care of some family stuff. He stepped in, and as you know, Mark Ingersoll, he's super passionate and can be seen up there pulling his hat down and yelling at people. But I never thought I would meet somebody that wants to win more than I do. And I met him, and his name's Mark Ingersoll. But to have those guys in the relationship that I have with them. You know, I don't like the female aspect of it, but I am a girl and I am a little different and we like to be treated a little different. And those two guys really took me under their wing, and they don't yell at me and they don't holler or make me cry or anything like that. So it's really nice to have a group of people that I trust and that I know want to win just as badly as I do. So team chemistry, huge part of the puzzle. People are the most important part. And we have that here. So I think that has a lot to do with our on-track success. And leaving the shop as prepared as possible. We feel like we win races before we pull out of the gate here in Oklahoma. And we've done just that this year. So I'm super thankful for the blessings that we have had. I know the competition is tough and they all want to kill us as much as we want to kill them. But this year has been tremendous.
Yeah. And that final round against Greg, they were the underdogs as indicated by your qualifying performances, right? But I was impressed that they rose to the occasion and gave you a really great race. And that race in particular, first of all, everyone needs to understand, I keep bringing up this Champions Dinner because special stuff happened there. It was really neat. Like you and the Hartford sitting at the table, you and Courtney and Amber and Matt Hartford, you guys have had such great rivalries on the track and you're eating dinner together and having a good time and, you know, goofing around. But Greg Anderson went on the stage as last year's winner and champion and looked down at you and was making a statement, but then looked over to you and said, you have done a great job this year, all but laying it out like, hey, man, it would be some sort of weird miracle for me to win the championship this year. You've done such a great job. That was such respect and amazing. And then you run him in the final round. And what was cool was, if you look at this photo, they did the track in red and blue, Texas colors, right? And red was on the red side and blue was on the blue side. And it's just the weirdest symmetry in the moment, right? Like everything was perfect in that final round and you went on and won, but he picked up run of the day for him. And just, I don't know, he won last year. He's been around longer. He won last year. You win this year. You both get your fifth. Two racers who have carried the category from what it was to what it is. Just, I don't know. There's something, you got your first win against him. Just so many connections.
I'll tell you what, sorry, it cut out.
So many connections between you.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Greg has been the guy to beat since I stepped foot on the scene in 2005. And, you know, back then we talk and joke about how he was the only one that said, I don't want to be the first one to lose to her, to a girl. And the sense of humor that God has, it worked out that way. And we had to race each other in that final round in 2012 in Joliet. But, you know, since then, I have always said to be the best, you have to beat the best. And Greg Anderson is the best and has been the best for a number of years. And you just, you can't knock the guy. He has tremendous work ethic. And he, I feel like at the Champions Dinner, the story that you mentioned, like it just goes to show that while you have these massive rivalries on the track and Matt Hartford and myself have staging battles and throw words out at the finish line as we did in Norwalk, like, but we can come together and we have this mutual respect for one another because of what we set out to try to do. We know how hard this business is, and to be able to not only just put the money and the team together to go out there and do this, but to not just talk the talk, but walk the walk, all of these teams. And I want to touch on what Greg said at the Champions Banquet. Like you guys were kind of sitting knee to knee facing the center of the room. And when he began to talk about it, he turned completely to the right where our table was. And he looked me in the eye and said what he said about the tremendous season that we've had and that we're super deserving of the title this year. And of course, afterwards, when they were rolling cigars and playing George Strait music outside, I was able to thank him for that and let him know how much that meant to me. But you know, you try to separate it because on the track, I like to think we're on an equal playing field. But as a fan girl growing up, looking at Greg Anderson as the champion that he is and just striving to be like him and to be able to compete next to him. And we've done just that over the last 18 years of my career. So it's pretty awesome. And yes, that meant a whole bunch to me.
Yeah, that was great. And that's what I want to see. You know, some people want controversy and I want controversy. I just want people to watch. Okay. That's really what it is. I love drag racing and I want people to watch. And if controversy is going to get them to watch, then I guess I want some controversy, but really, I'm not, I don't want to see my friends like fighting, right? Nobody wants to see that. I want to see just respectful, great racing, the kind of stuff I grew up on at my local bracket track, where you race, you win, you lose, you have a beer afterwards, but that's not necessarily what gets people to watch, as we know from the TV shows. And so whatever it is, but I just felt like that was a great moment. You got 9 wins. You had 8 at the time. You got 9 wins now, 2 races to go. The season is almost over, which is a little sad in and of itself. We've had what I think is the best season of NHRA drag racing ever. And now we're headed to Vegas. So let's talk a little bit about that. NHRA has announced a massive fan fest. I don't know if you're in for that or not, but the first one since the pandemic, going to be down there at the Fremont Street Experience, bringing the Vegas race now back to its full power.
Yes, super excited. It's no secret, as you mentioned, Vegas has been really great to us. I think we have 9 wins there and 2 K&N championships as well. So we've had awesome success on that racetrack. So heading back there is always exciting. I feel like my guys have a good handle on the track. And if I can just do my job behind the wheel, there's no reason why we can't go on to win there. But one of the favorite fan fest on the tour is the Fremont Street Experience. For 2 solid hours, we have a line of fans, and they bring cool memorabilia for us to sign. The whole time they're playing, like, on that covered part of Fremont, videos of drag racing and us winning up there. So it's just a really awesome night and a huge turnout. So we're really excited to have that back, and we'll be heading out there early for that.
Yeah, there's going to be... it's going to be mega, right? Like it's going to be the first one back, and also a little late in the going to announce it. I understand why. So everybody out there in the world, please tell all your friends that are going to the race that Thursday, I think it's 5 to 7. There's going to be the Fremont Street Experience NHRA Fan Fest. Get out there and celebrate being able to do it, right? We hadn't done it for the past couple of years. So I was kind of studying you and your guys this race, because when someone does something stand out and amazing, it's just, you just want to watch them. You know, Michael Jordan, you want to watch them. Like, wow, what are they doing? So I saw you kind of getting ready for one of your runs. You're in there and you're messing with your visor and you're just doing your thing. And to be able to repeat the way you have and in these critical pressure pack situations, you said that you had to learn to love it. Like, you didn't like it at first, but then you had to learn to love it. Now you love it. You love those moments. Can you talk a little bit about that? Like, knowing that this is a very intense moment, although the more points you get, the less intense they get.
Yeah. I mean, it's super crucial to be able to perform under pressure in those moments that mean everything, when your back is against the wall and the cards are stacked against you. And as a kid, I grew up playing sports, which I think laid a pretty awesome foundation for being competitive and positive mental attitude stuff that our dad taught us. But, you know, when I first came on the scene, you're a kid. I was 19 years old competing against these juggernauts, Warren Johnson and Kurt Johnson and Greg Anderson and Jason Line and even Bob Glidden at times, Jed Coughlin, like these Mike Edwards, all these super crazy stout names. And I posted a picture on my social media the other day from 2013. And in the background were all of these greats that I looked up to as a kid, Alan Johnson, Brutus. I mean, it's crazy. So to be able to put all of those thoughts and feelings aside, when you get in that race car and they shut the door and they say, it's on you. Like, they've prepared the car the best as they can. All my guys are standing behind me, and it's up to me to let the clutch out on time, keep the car in the groove, hit my shifts. No matter what is thrown at me, I need to get that race car down the racetrack safely. And that is something that I had to learn how to welcome. And my dad and my sister were really substantial in helping me accomplish that. So it's kind of like if you play stick and ball sports, it's like, when there's 2 seconds left on the clock, I want the ball. I'm sinking the 3. So you have to welcome it. And that's something that I had to learn to do. I know I've said that a couple times, but it's having that mindset in the race car that it is all on your shoulders and you are thankful for that position. So going up against these greats that we have over the last 2 decades of my career has obviously made me a lot better driver. But I think mentally, it makes you rise to the occasion, and it builds your confidence as a person, as a racer, and as a competitor. So, kind of long answer to your question, but you got to put the ball when there's seconds left on the clock, because you know that you're the only one that's going to sink that shot.
Now, which stick and ball sports were you the best at?
Volleyball was my favorite. I played volleyball, basketball, track, and golf.
Oh, wow. Golf.
Those were my four sports.
You still play golf, right? I know you go play every once in a while. The elite squad goes and plays golf.
We do. We just played it at Trump in Charlotte, so that was a lot of fun. But we try to get out a couple times a year, team outing, but I definitely don't play as much as I used to, and my scorecard shows that. So being the competitive person I am, I hate sucking at things, but after shoulder surgery and elbow surgery, I don't play as much as I should, but we had fun with it.
Angie says you've been hired as her mentor, that you always rise to the occasion. And that's true. You have risen to the occasion many, many times, going back to those first couple of championships, just incredible runs, you know, side-by-side trip zip races, just amazing moments. But the more you have them, the more used to that situation you get. And so the better you can perform. All right. It's like when the pressure is intense, how do you deal with it? You got to learn. There's all these sports cliches. You got to learn to win one, but because by losing one, all of those things. Well, now you've been down the road a lot. But this is kind of an interesting spot in that 100 and NHRA.com says 165, Astori says 166, whatever it is. What do you do with this? You got to stay on offense, right? You can't change the way you race and go into like prevent defense. That never works.
No, definitely. You don't change your mindset. You don't change your game. You know, we've been fortunate to win a lot of races, a lot of national events, and a handful of world championships. So we didn't do that by changing our game plan, depending on who's in the lane next to us. You know, it sounds cliche, but we focus on our car and our lane and let the points count themselves. So we just got to put our heads down and go to work. These last two races are super important. Pomona is 1.5. Yes, we have a substantial lead, but it's not over yet. And I know that. So we got to go to work. And our mindset is not to just, this is not our title. We don't go out and defend it. We got to go out and earn it and work for it. So that's the mindset that we have going into Las Vegas. You know, if we can do well there and clinch in Vegas, it'll certainly make Pomona a little bit easier on my stomach. But it's exciting. Like what a great position to be in. I know that, every team would probably strive to be in a position where you have a 160 some odd point lead going into the last two races. So we're really excited about the opportunities ahead of us, but we're going to work. And we know that the other teams are going to throw whatever they can at us. They attempted to do so in Dallas. It didn't work out and we won. So I think that like shuts the door and, you know, I told a little story. You were in the press room about it, but every year during the countdown, my sister shows me this photo and it's of Michael Phelps and his competitor. Michael Phelps is slightly ahead of him and he has his eyes focused on the finish line and his competitor is looking directly at him, seeing what he's doing. So I think if you put your blinders on and you focus on the task at hand and the goal that you have in front of you, instead of all of the crap that's going on around you, you'll be way better off than the people who are focusing on you. So that's our mindset.
Like it. Fritz is out there in Warsaw, Poland. He is a weekly WFO viewer from Poland, which is great. They got a lot going on over there. I love the fact that he loves drag racing. You mentioned Dallas. I found that to be interesting. It was Royce who came over to me and he's like, dude, they're trying to get next to us, right? And my view of it, and I want yours, like you guys did something similar a couple of years ago. My view was good for him, right? Trying to do what he could do to help his team. It did not work out. It was, the DNQ'd epic fail. But team player, obviously, was trying to take you on first round, and it didn't work out. But when you saw it happening, like, was it respect? Like, oh, you're trying to do that. All right, that's great. Or like, how did you take it?
I mean, we knew it was coming. The KV guys started doing all that stuff in 2019. It worked out where Greg hooked us first round and we were able to come out on top and we went on to win the championship that year. They messed around in 2020 as well. And we countered in 21. So, they started it. And when you're in a position where your job is to bring the championship home, whether it be to myself, Aaron Stanfield, Bo Butner, PJ Coughlin, any of the quadras, our job is to keep the championship here at Elite Motorsports and their job is to try to keep it at KV. So it is absolutely understood. And when the other team, whether it be us or them, is in front, you have to do whatever you have to do to make it happen. So Don't care. Respect. I don't really know if I would use that word, but it is what it is. And, you know, it always works out the way it's supposed to. So they threw something at us. It at first he said he broke a valve spring. So I feel like if you're going to do it, own it. But then the second round he did it. And I think everybody knew what was going on at that point. I just don't think they anticipated the air being as terrible as it was going to be on Saturday. And they were not able to get in the show. So it is what it is. But fully expected it. Totally okay with it. I am not scared. Bring on whatever you got. Just like they're not scared of us. So it is what it is.
That's awesome. Now, and Angie says that she says Vance and Hines does it to us as well. Around bracket tracks around the country, there are points championships in every category. And I feel like the guy who is in second or third is trying to take out the lead guy on a regular basis, especially as it gets down to the wire. If you're going to win and there's someone ahead of you, the best person to beat him is you. And I feel like that's kind of common drag racing points practice.
Yeah, I think you're 100% spot on. And it kind of goes back to the question that we talked about before, like when there's seconds left on the clock, give me the ball. The only way you're going to seal the deal is to handle it yourself. So in 21, when we did it, it was on our shoulders, and the other 3 or 4 years that they've done it, it's on theirs. So if you want to get it done, you got to take care of it yourself. So I understand.
Yeah, it's great stuff. Erica, great job as usual. Appreciate you. You know, I don't know what to say because, you know, you got to show up at these races, right? Like you got to just show up, and it's not that the fat lady is singing, but she's definitely tuning up. And it's just, it's nothing is inevitable, but you got to go through a process to secure the math. Now it's about the math. You got to show up, you got to qualify, you got to race these races for you, try to win them, do what you're thing, sign some autographs at Fremont, and it'll be fun for everybody along the way. So thank you for making the time all throughout the year. I think we've spoken with you, you know, not quite 9 times. We combined a couple of them because they were back-to-back wins happening rapidly. But what a season it has been. Good luck bringing it home. And thank you for joining us on WFO.
Joe, thank you as always. And I look forward to seeing you in Las Vegas.
Vegas, baby. Vegas.
Vegas, baby.
All right. Bye, Erica. Thank you.
Have a good one.
There she goes. Erica Enders with us here on WFO Radio. You know, the points speak for themselves. And it's just a matter, like Mr. Anderson, that's the sound of inevitability. But you got to go to the track. You got to show up. You got to attempt to qualify. You got to get those points, all of those things. Go a couple of rounds. She can clinch it. She can clinch it in Vegas, which is something that nobody thought. All right. Get your comments in the comment section, guys. Let's do a little talking. NHRA drag racing. Angie out there. They show up and they show out. They definitely have great success over there. Let's get some comments in the comment section. But I want to tell you about the people who make WFO possible, guys. Without these people, I could not do this show. Hopefully you like and appreciate WFO Radio. You're subscribed to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud for the audio only podcast, YouTube for the live stream, the WFO app that I told you about. And it's like Bernie's Speed Shop. Josh Hart comes on board. They got $5 million in classic cars in inventory at Bernie's in Ocala, Florida. They're a couple of minutes from Garlitz. They do frame off restorations. They do window tinting. They do everything. They'll build you a movie prop if you need, and they have for things that move, great movies that we dare not say. Bernies.com, follow their social media, and it's amazing to watch how the true American entrepreneurial success story for Josh Hart. He started out as going door to door, can I detail your car? And turned it into this 100,000 square foot megaplex for automotive. It's amazing stuff. American Classic Horsepower, Bernies.com. Please check them out. Phillips Connect, Justin Ashley and the squad, they're leading the points by 82. That one's not nearly as safe as Erica Ender's championship situation. Justin is still right in the middle of it. We spoke with Justin yesterday. But in the end, it's an exercise to tell you about smart trailer technology. For people in the transportation industry who go over the road with all these tractors and trailers who have loads and great value in there, where are they? What's going on with them? Are they safe? All of these things. And they're internet connected to a mothership back home that helps you monitor them. Instead of your truck out there somewhere in the United States, you know exactly where it is. So if you've got a fleet, a big one or a little one, go to Phillips-Connect.com and find out more about smart trailer technology, Philips Connect. FTI Performance Transmissions and Torque Converters. Top end, top dragster winner, boom. FTI Contingency. Top sportsman winner, boom. FTI Contingency. It's as simple as that. The original million is going on this week. There's going to be a lot of FTI converter cars out there as well. They're located in DeLand, Florida. We do real well with the Florida companies here on WFO. I guess they love the Florida connection, right? And they know that we're working so hard. But if you're going to have a transmission built for your bracket car, for your big money bracket car, 890 car, top sportsman, top dragster, pro mod, or even your street car, FTIPerformance.com. Check them out. And they're going to have a booth at SEMA and at PRI, and I will be making an appearance in their booth for that weekend. And then there's Total Seal Piston Rings, the leader in ring seal technology, TotalSeal.com. High performance engines across the board. Total Seal fits the rings. They really changed the game by making the rings so much thinner and more efficient and less friction. And what does that do? That unlocks the hidden horsepower. And purchasing is easy too. Go to TotalSeal.com. If you're an engine builder out there, if someone's sending you this link and you don't use Total Seal Piston Ring, you're really kind of going against the flow of the best of the best, whether it be in Pro Stock, NASCAR Cup, Formula One. Total Seal is the company that the quickest and fastest are using. So hit them up, TotalSeal.com. Speaking of Florida companies, Frank Hawley's Drag Racing School, FrankHawley.com. Drive a dragster this holiday season or get it as a gift for your friends, for your family, for your sales team, for your best customers, your best clients. Courses start at $399, at least it used to. I got to check, see if the prices went up. But even if it did, it would be a deal. You show up with nothing, or your gift recipient shows up with nothing and goes home with the experience of a lifetime, having driven a dragster down the racetrack multiple times, one half track, two full track passes, and frankly, hanging out with Frank Hawley. There's a lot of people paying a lot of money to do just that. Go to FrankHawley.com, and when you order, just shout out WFO at some point. Samtech.edu, Brandon Bakey's wins a heads-up final round in Super Stock with the curriculum car, with a car that is the curriculum. Not a sponsored car when Samtech's on the side. Students are working on it. And they go out and they win a final round, heads up in Super Stock. That's amazing. Go to samtech.edu, find out about the engine block programs and the cylinder head programs and the motorsport EFI tuning programs and all of the different elements, CNC programming. Maybe you're not even interested in drag racing, or maybe you are, but maybe you want to work at SpaceX. The foundational education that you would get at Samtech is what can get you in the door at SpaceX as well. So go to samtech.edu. And then there's our buddy, Marvin Rodak. Rodakscoffeeandgrills.com. The hot sauces and the spice rubs and so many great things down there at Rodax. Try the coffee once. You'll be hooked. You will be hooked. I know a lot of people were swinging by there, and he was delivering a lot of coffee at the Stampede of Speed. 817-924-6821. You can get the Joe Morrison blend. You can get the WFO radio blend. You can have your own blend made, all that. And then there's our Patreons. We got the big Patreon meetup out there in Vegas. Vegas is going to be great. Now they've got the Fan Fest going on at the Fremont Street Experience, and everybody needs to tell everybody about the Fan Fest. But Patreon meetup, WFO, Dave and Sue Morris are going to be coming out from South Carolina with their Super Gas Roadster. They're going to be out there. We're going to have people in from Oregon, people in from Cali, all WFO Patreons. This hangout is part of being a WFO Patreon. So if you want to come out and join the Patreons, get the secret access shows and material, and just do it or don't. I don't know why people do it anyway. They just love the show. All right, let's see what people say in the comment section. Let's see what they say in the comments. Oh, that's a mistake. Flying Ryan. We've had a great year, guys. Sad is really the deal. This thing is almost over, guys. It's almost over. NHRA 2022. At the beginning of the year in my National Dragster column, I made a bold prediction that this would be the greatest single season of NHRA Camping World Drag Racing ever in history. And I think I'm right. Arguably, I'm right. Yeah, maybe we could go back and look at some other years and do some debating. But as far as the points championships are going, you know, Erica's stinking up the show in Pro Stock. But at the same time, one of the greatest drivers ever is having one of the greatest seasons ever. People like that stuff. People like it. That makes for a great season. The funny car points battle WFO, Robert Height, Ron Capps, Matt Hagen, all in the mix. The two greatest drivers in the history of drag racing, not named John Force, battling, certainly the winningest. You might, you know, want to argue the word great, and I get it. Great's a, you know, descriptive term. Numbers don't lie, as we have found out this year many times. Top Fuel, Justin Ashley. Is he going to be the one to unseat Steve Torrence? Yeah, he didn't seem to think so yesterday. He said, just when we slip up, Steve jumps right in there. It's not over yet. It's not even close to over. Two races to go. Just so intense. And then Pro Stock Motorcycle. Joey Gladstone, Corey Reed, and those guys, that band of, you know, whatever you want to call them, rapscallions. They got to take it to Matt Smith. They got to find a way to unseat a five-time champ. Can they do it? Can they do it? It's just so awesome to see how it's all playing out. And all the Lucas Oil competition as well. Let's see. 2022 has been the fastest for all drag and drive events too, says Drag and Drive. Thank you. Just got here. What did I miss? Yeah, we had this girl, some girl, Erica Enders, 9-time winner this year, points leader, pretty much in the catbird seat for a fifth championship. Let's see what Quick Biker says. Joe, I was worried about NHRA going into 2022, but you're so right. It has been a fantastic season of competition. One of my best in 45 years of following the pro ranks. Yeah. Like, we'd have to go back into the history books and figure out, like, what other year was as good as this? I saw it coming. I like to focus on the storylines less than the technical aspect of how the cars go down the racetrack. Hopefully you can hear that in my announcing, but also here. I watch other sports. I've worked in sports radio. I've covered the Dolphins and the Hurricanes and the Panthers. That's our hockey team here, the Miami Heat. And what are people talking about, right? What do they talk about? What gets them going? And what gets them going is these larger conversations, not, kind of defensive positioning, hand placement as a player. Like, they're not as into it. That's for the super hardcore people. We want to make college basketball coaches out there. And so we're talking about the, you know, footwork. People don't want to talk about that. They want to talk about winning and losing and great and greater and all time and which player and was it Magic or was it Bird or was it LeBron or Dr. J and these long, bigger conversations. Aaron Judge versus Babe Ruth and how those things are similar and how they're different and sport. And it's got to be fun and entertaining. And that's where I try to go in my storylines. And that's why at the start of the countdown, I really wanted to let everybody know where everybody stood. Just in case we had an underdog, someone who was not really one of the favorites going into the countdown to jump up and emerge and rival these other teams, to catch fire at the right time. I just spoke with Chase Briscoe this morning. We had Eric Almirola on this morning, guys. I don't know if you saw that, all you crossover NHRA and NASCAR fans. Eric Almirola is like right down there in the archive, right below this one, right? And he was great. Well, we spoke with Chase Briscoe, you know, NASCAR at Homestead Miami Speedway this weekend. I'll be down there. Chase Briscoe, who is in the final eight, drives for Tony Stewart, trying to fight his way into the final race at Phoenix. He got it. He pointed out the Yankees banner back there. Yankees, ugh, the Astros. They beat us up last night. What are you going to do? Struck out too much. Sometimes you lose. You got to go back and play again. That's what we're going to do. We're going to go back out and we're going to get after it. It's going to be tough, though. We are underdog story. And that's exactly the point. How do you go into an underdog story and not acknowledge being an underdog? Nope, we're not an underdog. This team has owned us. They've owned us. They've got mind control. They've owned us. How do you not acknowledge that? You've got to acknowledge the stories that are. And that's what I think this show has been all about this year. And coming in, you could just see it was shaping up to be one of the greatest years ever. Ron Capps, team owner. Antron Brown, team owner. Justin Ashley, brand new with the team with Dustin Davis. I just hope we're spending enough time talking about it. I wish we had more time in between each run to talk about it. I wish we had more time to really lay out, like, there's this new documentary that's coming out. You've seen the promo out there. And I love it because it says it's time to burn some nitro at the very beginning. That's me. But it's kind of like a Drive to Survive kind of thing. Torrance is involved. Justin Ashley is involved. I can't wait to see it. I'm super excited. They've got some high-dollar cameras that are being used, and that's what I'm into it. But what are they going to talk about? What are they going to say? Those documentaries where you spend a little more time analyzing what it means. And in the clip, Steve Torrance talks about the gladiators. And I don't really like that analogy because our sport is dangerous too. And I don't want to see anybody have that problem ever again. I really don't. I don't want that to be a part of our sport. But metaphorically speaking, if they were gladiators this past week in Dallas, some people's championships, you know, lives were ended. You know, Mike Dunn, who one of the great drivers, one of the great personalities, came up with the Do or Done line. And that is a lasting legacy for Mike Dunn. And like, who's below the Do or Done line? Well, Tony Schumacher, Leah, Clay Milliken, Sean Langdon, Doug Coletta are all below the Do or Done line. They are going to go out there and get points and maybe could win races. But I'm sorry, I don't see it possible that any one of those drivers can win the championship, even with back-to-back wins and the points and a half. Like, you know, how are Justin, Brittany, Antron, Steve, Salinas, Josh Hart, and Austin Prock all going to lose? Like, I guess they, because there's seven drivers and there's eight drivers that lose first round. So I guess they could all lose first round in both races. I guess that's possible, but the math seems very unlikely. Some of us, it's our job to say that. I know everybody wants to be treated like, you know, participation trophy. It's been amazing, and not because I'm blessed with attending four events. That's a good number, Steve. That's a good number of events. It's been a great year, 2022. So true. Hey, Britt. Britt's coming. What's up, Britt? Britt's coming to our Patreon meetup. Britt's a Patreon. Thank you, Britt, for coming out. She's a bracket racer as well. Robert Height and his team have been dominant, hoping Ron can get around them. Been having a good conversation with Robert Height over and over again. And he created a scenario. I really do agree that race wins should be worth a little something more. Maybe not much more, but a little something. Because, well, right now, Caps and Robert are 2-2. 2-2. There's been four races. 2-2. Maybe they'll finish up 3-3. And whoever wins that final one will be the champ. See what else. How about them Strohs? Yeah, they whooped us last night. You know, striking out too much. What, we have 16 strikeouts or something, 11 by Verlander. Verlander is unbelievable. He's great. We had a couple of opportunities, runners in scoring position. We did not push him across. Also, the second half swoon by the Yankees, playing like garbage the entire second half, lost us lane choice. I was going to say lane choice, home field advantage. So playing those first games over there in Houston, very tough. Like I said, we're the underdog. Astros, good luck to your team. I think we'll get them tonight, though. Joe, are you going to the Nitro Revival before the week of Pomona? The answer is no. No. I'm coming back to South Florida between Vegas and Pomona after SEMA. I'm coming back because I haven't been home at all. I haven't been here at all. I got so many projects. I had to change a headlight motor on my Firebird. The right side is like, you know, not coming up. She's a consummate professional, able to keep her composure despite any challenges. Yeah. Talking about Erica, and it's so true. Greatest of all time. Very difficult to do in pro stock. Because Erica as Erica and Greg as Greg and Bob Glidden as Bob Glidden and Warren Johnson as Warren Johnson, like, they're all different. Erica works on the car. Make no mistake. She's a very important part of the team, like all that logistics and stuff. I'm sure there are people that say, well, she only drives. That's not true. She does not only drive. She does whatever she needs to do to help the team. I've seen her working on the car, doing stuff. you know, she's not in the shop honing blocks like Greg Anderson is. I don't think it's necessary to make those comparisons, especially in pro stock where it's such a hands-on category. There's like an executive washroom for the greatest of all time, and Erica has the key. And so does Bob Glidden, and so does Warren Johnson, and so does Greg Anderson. They all get the key to the VIP suite for the greatest of all time in pro stock. But I will say this, and this is going to be like blasphemy to some people. Reinhardt brought up, well, you know, Bob Glidden won, you know, all but one race won. Yeah, it was a totally different sport back then. And to dominate the competition with a performance advantage was easier before everybody had the same stuff. And it's as simple as that, you know, the Fairmont dominating. And no disrespect to Warren Johnson either. It was just different. Different back then. 17. Finished ninth in points. Yankees can still do it. They can still do it. What do you mean we lost a game? We were down to the Guardians, and we came back against the Guardians. They can do it, but they're going to have to do something big. That's all. NHRA is having an incredible year. You were right by saying it would be the best year ever. Yes, I was. Yes, I was. And put it in print. That's what I'm talking about. Put it in print. Not afraid to say what's true. It's kind of an easy prediction if you really think about it. An easy prediction. It was all shaping up. You know, oh, well, I don't really know if it's the best year ever. And yeah, you're going to argue with me on that. Two to go, though, guys. Hopefully you're going out and you're going to be out there in Vegas. I'm going to Vegas. You're going to Vegas. Everybody just drop what you're doing. Go to Vegas. Go to the Fan Fest. It has been a great year. Hey, remember when everybody thought drag racing was dying? Yeah, no. Let's see what this guy says. Now there's a little time to rest here in the Northeast. We have Keystone Dutch Classic, of course. Koretsky family are doing an awesome job. Yeah, the Dutch, it's like a national event. Stock, super stock. And you guys are getting ready for cold weather. That's a bummer. My schedule is all jacked up this week after the Stampede of Speed. Yeah, I messed up too. After 10 days in Big D, Dallas. I got a cowboy hat. That's what matters. All right, guys, thank you so much. Hey, the WFO store, we got some good stuff up there. We got new shirts, Miami Hollywood Speedway Classic, wide F and open, the Jet Car shirt, the FIA shirt. And now we got one that is very drag racing centric that I think you'll like it. Go to the WFO store by hitting the website, WFOradio.com, WFO store. A lot of good stuff in there. Big thanks to Ron Capps for coming on this week. Thanks to Hector Arana for coming on this week. Thanks to Erica for coming on this week. Thanks to Justin Ashley for coming on this week. Where's Justin? Oh, I don't have a photo of Justin. Kind of weird, right? The red lane, red car, blue lane, blue car. And remember, we're going to hear from Chase Briscoe, NASCAR, as we get ready. You got Formula One at Circuit of the Americas. The United States is the center of the world of motorsports, much as it is the center of the world. All right, guys. Appreciate all of you. WFO, thanks to Erica. Have a great week.